If you will just bow your heads and repeat, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you that I have eyes.
Thank you that I have eyes.
That see.
That see.
I have ears.
I have ears.
That hear.
That hear.
And my heart does perceive.
And my heart does perceive.
How much you love me.
How much you love me.
Hallelujah. This past Tuesday, we were in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going back there. 1 John chapter 4. I'd like to preface this word with something that was taught to me many years ago, middle 80s, by a gentleman from Spokane, Washington. And we know that we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, yes. But how many know that the enemy has his witnesses? Okay? And the enemy comes around with thoughts to accuse, to abuse, and to throw guilt and condemnation. And even in that realm, there are cases where the enemy will manifest and choke himself. And so this gentleman, way back then, said to me, Kim, if a negative spirit ever comes in front of you, how are you going to defend yourself? And of course, kind of a nice idea, you know. And my thought was, well, the enemy's not going to show up. He's not interested in me. But sometime later, the Lord opened my eyes, and I did see in that realm. And I saw things I didn't want to see. Now, did they speak to me? Yes, through a person. And my first reaction was having a flashback of this man saying, what are you going to do? How are you going to stand up to this? You know, how are you going to defend who you are? And who are you anyway? Who do you think you are? Well, it's not important what I think. It's what he says I am.
Amen?
But do I believe it? That's when the rubber meets the road. Okay? You can have awesome traction in multiples of areas, but if you don't know who you are, and you don't know your Father, then you don't know who's in you, and you won't be able to defend yourself, and you're going to cower. You're going to fall over. And the accuser will convince you of any lie he chooses because you've got no defense. Okay? This man said the test that will give you victory every time is make that spirit confess that Jesus Christ is alive in you now. It's not Jesus, the hope of glory. It's do you believe that Jesus is alive in you by his spirit inside of you today, now? And I'll be honest with you, that was ground that was quite shaky for me. In those years, I had a knowledge, but I wasn't convinced. I had a great idea about it, but it wasn't my experience. You say, well, how do you know? Well, God's opinion is written by 1 John. So 1 John 4, okay? Notice in verse 13, it says, we know that we live in him. K-N-O-W, we know. How did you know? Because he had to have something experientially happen to him to wake up to the reality that Jesus was alive in him. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to write that letter. Do you ever try to write a letter to someone and it's only somebody else's experience? They're going to look at it like the newspaper, and it's going to be false news or fake news. Yes or no? When you get a letter from someone that you know that has been through hell and back and come out of it smiling, and you're reading that letter, there's an inside witness inside of you, and you say, ah, now they know what they're talking about because they've lived it and they're out of it now and they can help me on my journey. Mm-hmm. That's Christianity. Not a talk about how God is and how the angels are and how the demons are. Because you can talk till the cows come home, but when you've lived it and you've experienced it, then there's a witness inside of you. Okay? John says, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. That's the sperm you spoke of. His spirit is what impregnated Mary. Check it out. Oh, you say, she was different. How is she different? She believed, number one, and she accepted, number two, and his ability to manifest was because of her faith and her saying yes. She could have said, I'm scared. She probably was. She knew what she was going to have to pay, and she knew she was facing a death sentence by saying yes. But she still said, okay, I'm going with it. John said, he is in me because he has given me of his spirit. I'm personalizing it. Because you see, I had to taste that for myself. 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Not just us, but the world as well. 15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. There's the harmony. There's the relationship. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us rather than you and I trusting that we love him. It's his love for us. That's what we rely on. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. So in other words, when you and I are meeting up with, let's say, a demonic spirit that manifests in front of you, and you make that spirit declare that God is alive in you, how long do you think he's going to pussyfoot around?
Not very.
I ain't dealing with that guy. Even the demons with the demoniac declared, what are you doing here? Why did you come here? Are you coming here to torment us ahead of schedule? They were very aware of who he was. How come all of the Jewish hierarchy couldn't know? How come they couldn't see? Because God kept them blind. God kept them blind for a purpose. 16 again. And so we know, knowledge again, relationship, and rely on the love God has for us. You know, there was a young man this week, a pastor's son, and he was on the 700 Club, which I happened to catch. Wonderful young man, very handsome, decided that he was going to try some pot when he was like 12. And then he graduated, and then he got some kind of an injury, and the doctor gave him prescriptions. And in those prescriptions, he got addicted. Then he couldn't buy them anymore because now the drug company was forced by some of the laws that were placed and they had to change the prescription so that it would not be addictive. Well, it didn't work for him, so he decided to go on the street and buy heroin. And that was his answer to his prayer. He now knew how awesome he could feel. But his father and his mother and the whole church kept praying for him. But here was his witness. They said, did you go to rehab? Oh, many times. Did it work? Nope. Did you go back? Oh, I went back. He said, well, why did you go back? Because I wanted it. He wanted the freedom, but it wouldn't work. He said, well, what happened? He said, my father finally showed me that God loved me and that I had no more guilt to be had. And I began to confess what God said about me, and I got free. Mm-mm-mm. Today, I'm happy. I work with my father in his church, and we have a youth ministry, and I have tasted what that thing did to me, and I'm teaching the kids not to confess their problem, but to confess their victory. God in him got him into freedom. The Holy Ghost in him manifested through words of life towards himself. Now, how many of you have ever had a circle of sin nature that you kept repeating over and over? If you have one of those, put your hand up. Thank you. Then stop declaring it as a problem. Because the more you focus on the problem, what's going to happen? It's going to what? It's going to mushroom in front of you. It's going to be, it's so big because it's your focus. But how about if you declare, ha ha ha, if I acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God and that God lives in me and he in God, how long do you think that spirit's going to be around?
Not very.
It's going to start running in the opposite direction. And I know and rely on God's love for me, not on my love for him. It's God's love for me. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Verse 17, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence. That's experiential. When you and I have confidence that on the day of judgment, because in the world, we are like him. We're no longer under the conviction of the world. We are now declaring what Jesus has done for us. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. There's the trigger. He first loved me. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must love also his brother. Verse 1 of 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know, knowledge again, that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. It doesn't say might. So this is the victory that has overcome the world. Even our faith. What faith? I haven't got any faith. Yes, you do. You were given a little tiny start. And the more you use it, it's like your muscles. The more you use them, the more they'll grow. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. There you should have a circle around believe. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're back in trouble. Did Mary believe that she carried the Son of God?
Yep.
How did she know? She knew because of... Right, she had nothing to do with anybody, any man. She knew that. So it had to be experiential. When the Holy Ghost came in me, I can remember saying, oh my God, I feel different. But did I understand my pregnancy? Didn't. I didn't know. Was God working on my case? Absolutely. Well, who are you? What are you? I would give you every answer that I knew logically. But did I know that Jesus had come alive in me? No. Did I understand that the Father had impregnated me? I did to a degree, but did I comprehend what it would do to me? No. It really was an adventure. It really was an adventure. And one of the side effects was the joy that God had put in me. I was bubbly. I was half drunk most of the time. And everybody that came around me, I would become an irritation to them. And that's just what had happened. And my critics, I had no patience for them. I really didn't. I had no patience for them. If they tried to give me a line of BS, I gave it right back. And I'd say, if you had what's in me, you wouldn't be criticizing me because I feel so great. I could overcome anything. I was on a honeymoon with God. Yeah. A honeymoon with God means nothing's going to bother you. But there's a beginning of a honeymoon and then there's a...
end.
Oh. How come that came right out of you, Gail?
Right, I didn't say that loud.
But the honeymoon did not stop to the degree that I couldn't comprehend that I could run back to him. Okay? There was pressure from multiples of levels, and he let me through all of the trials. There were multiples of trials. But I would declare, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to choose to trust you. I didn't go by my emotions, because my emotions would have given me a slap in the face and said, wake up. Don't you see God's let you down? You see, he'll show you the enemy, and then the enemy's allowed to come in to test you, just like he tested Jesus. Are you going to pass the test with your opinion? No. Are you going to pass the test with your emotions? No. You're going to pass the test when you declare, hey, Holy Ghost is inside of me. And I'm the Son of the Most High. And God loves me. And Jesus paid the price for me.
Amen.
And the other bird will go running with his tail between his legs. That's what he's going to do. I guarantee it. But you're going to open your mouth. You can think till the cows come home. They'll never leave. But if you declare it with your mouth, believing it. Believing. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Your declaration has power. Your mouth has power.
Sure does. Good and bad.
Yes. You can declare under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You can declare under the anointing of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. And I'll tell you, you're going to get different results.
Sure.
One of them will make you nosedive and you'll get into depression very quickly. The other will lift you back up a little bit and you're going to go up like little tiny steps. In my experience, he didn't put me on an elevator back up. He put me one step at a time. And every step I took, I got a flashback. I want to make sure we're going to go there okay, 2 minutes. This is probably 25 years ago. The Holy Spirit gave me a vision of me falling up the stairs. And I remember teaching that lesson. How do you fall up the stairs? And everybody says, I'm falling down the stairs. But with God, you fall up the stairs. Well, how do you fall up the stairs? Well, let's say there's a staircase in front of me. Every time I fall, my knees hit the next step. If you don't go on your knees, you don't humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, you're never going to make it up those stairs. And one after the other, even you go one knee at a time, going up, going up. You crawl back up the stairs on your knees, but you still make it to the top. And you will have to humble yourself, because if you think you're so smart, you're going to outsmart yourself, because the enemy will take you for a great ride. And you'll land right where he belongs. I don't want you to go there, but I am telling you, you can make it up the stairs. When you humble yourself, when you say, God in me is alive and I'm going up those stairs. By choice, I'm going up. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to just close your Bible, because I think you've had plenty right now. I'm going to ask you to stand. All of you in a circle right here. James chapter 4 verse 7 says, humble yourself before the Lord. Resist the devil and he has to
flee.
Resisting is something you and I have to do. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't resist, what happens? He takes you for a ride.
Yeah.
And we're not going for a ride. We're going to be on a Holy Ghost elevator this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Just close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
In the book of Acts.
In the book of Acts.
They were all in one accord.
They were all in one accord.
We're in one accord right now.
We're in one accord right now.
One voice.
One voice.
One purpose.
One purpose.
We know.
We know.
That the Holy Spirit.
That the Holy Spirit.
Had given us grace.
Has given us grace.
To believe that Jesus.
To believe that Jesus.
Is the Son of the Most High God.
Is the Son of the Most High God.
That qualifies me.
That qualifies me.
To receive.
To receive.
His blood.
His blood.
Over every mistake I've ever made.
Over every mistake I've ever made.
And over every sin that I may commit.
And over every sin that I may commit.
And over choices that I may make.
Because I'm in my emotions.
And made a mistake.
Today.
I confess those as sin.
I confess those as sin.
And I rely on the blood of Jesus.
And I rely on the blood of Jesus.
To cleanse my heart.
To cleanse my heart.
To cleanse my mind.
To cleanse my mind.
To cleanse my emotions.
To cleanse my emotions.
And I'm making a declaration.
And I'm making a declaration.
That Jesus is.
That Jesus is.
The Son of the Most High God.
The Son of the Most High God.
And His love.
And His love.
For me.
For me.
Is so much greater.
Is so much greater.
Than my love for me.
Than my love for me.
So I'm trusting now.
So I'm trusting now.
By choice.
By choice.
To declare.
To declare.
That the sonship.
Yes, the sonship.
Of Jesus.